There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday edition of the show. And by the looks of parking lots of a lot of places, especially here, the holiday weekend has gotten started for a lot of folks. Come back to that in just a second. Reminder, too, as we get started, easy to get in touch with the show. The Mallory Piping text line at 343-0106. Phone calls, 343-0106. And you can use that talkback feature on the FM Talk 106.5 app to leave us a voicemail that we can play back here on the air. So check that out as well. All right. And I'll get to the top, that, like it often happens to me. I have stories laid out, and then something happens within minutes of the start of the show that becomes a top story, but we'll get to that in just a moment. Just want to add this in. And, you know, had this on my mind yesterday, didn't say it. I want to say it now. And probably talk about, I'll be hosting, along with Leanna, hosting Mobile Mornings tomorrow. I think I remember my way around that show. And we'll talk more about the Veterans Day, I mean, the Memorial Day events coming up on Monday. We'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour, talk about what's happening here in Mobile and Baldwin County. But I've been seeing this for a while here, probably a week or so, maybe. I think that's fair to say, probably a week. Let me say this at the beginning, those of you who don't know, I'm a big fireworks fan. Not just because, like, Independence Day is my favorite holiday. I like the fireworks. Like, I got my son here at work with me today. He's probably back there in my office nodding along, Dad, and he as well. We like the fireworks. Been a fireworks fan for a long time. Like to shoot off fireworks. I mean, the big what do they call them, the cakes, to the individual Roman candles, to bottle rockets. I like them all. Been saying this. I think I've been saying this even in when I was in music radio. I know I was. Before I even started FM Talk 106.5 16 years ago, Memorial Day is not a fireworks holiday. And I see these end cap kiosk things in grocery stores where a fireworks stand that I with my grandparents, I'd trade with those folks. I like their fireworks. But they're in the grocery stores right now, and they do it around Independence Day. They do it for New Year's. That's cool. It just makes it easier to get your fireworks. You get stop and get some steaks. You stop and get, whatever. Get some salsa, some chips, and get some fireworks and check out there at the grocery store. But the fact that they're available right now worries me a bunch, that there's just a whole bunch of people. And this isn't even like the nerdy stuff I talk about, flag code. And I would love to have an American flag T-shirt, but I won't because I'm trained about flag code through the Boy Scouts of America. What you can and can't do with the flag. But this is not that nuanced. This is Memorial Day, which comes from being Decoration Day, is about our war dead. About remembering those that did not come home. Okay? It's not a time to be shooting off fireworks. And I, a fireworks fan, am telling you that. So just get it off my chest. I'll probably repeat it again tomorrow. Not a fireworks holiday. There are fireworks holidays. Of course, Independence Day, New Year's, fireworks holidays. Hell, if you want to shoot them off for Labor Day, Arbor Day, check your regulations in the city of Mobile. But if you're not in the city, shoot some fireworks. I'd love to watch them if you're shooting them. Not like at me, but if you're doing a display, I'd love to watch them. Memorial Day is not a fireworks holiday. Please spread the word. I know y'all all get it, but be prophets to your families and friends out there. It is not a fireworks holiday, even if they're selling them right there next to the baked beans. Not a fireworks holiday. All right. And we'll lay out some other short. I did see this. I mentioned, you know, I'll get set up for the show, and then a story comes in right at the last minute that I think may be one of the biggest stories of the day. And this came in from our news partners at WKRG. This coming out just about half hour ago. So there's the Mobile Mystics, they're having their Mobile Mystics golf tournament at Spring Hill Golf Course. And the announcement was made that coming up on Saturday, May 31st, so a week from this Saturday, it's a tournament, four-man scramble format, special appearance from, and those of you who spend any time on social media maybe have the same, maybe you don't, maybe the algorithm doesn't see you the same way it does me, but the algorithm figured out way back when that I would like a guy named Roll Tide Willie. Do y'all know who I'm talking about? Those of you out there, don't. He is now, and I don't know anybody with, I don't know anybody with the, I don't think, with the Mobile Mystics, but if you, in their tournament, they're still signing people up for their tournament, so good for them. If you need more information on that, you can go to the WKRG news story. They're signing people up to play in their golf tournament. But Roll Tide Willie out of Crenshaw County, county seat there is Luverne, he's going to be there. And I'm just like, if anybody there, if there's any way for me to get an autograph or an interview with Roll Tide Willie, I'm just right now using this show just for my own benefit. I'm pretty excited to see that story. So there are other stories there, but I did need to lead off with the fact that Roll Tide Willie will, a week from Saturday, be here in our fair city. And I welcome him. And we could talk about the tide. It'll be a good thing. Also, coming up on the show today, about 12:35, Congressman Mo Brooks, former Congressman Mo Brooks, used to be on the show a lot with us. You remember, I guess my first introduction, really, I mean, I knew him, but he called into the morning show a long time ago when that dirtbag shot up the congressional baseball practice for the Republicans. And Mo Brooks talked to us on the air as Steve Scalise was being medevaced out of there. That's how long ago. Not in office anymore, but he has op-ed over at AL.com about this question we had last week and earlier this week about President Trump's drug pricing executive order. Like what feels so good, and I don't want to pay more for drugs either, but is this sound policy? Well, Congressman Brooks thinks no, and he talked about it in that op-ed. He's going to talk to us about it. Plus, we'll probably discuss the big, beautiful bill that passed by a vote last night in the House. We'll see what happens to it in the Senate. Okay. Also, this story from Washington. I've seen this going on right now where people are trying to say, well, it's not sure if this person's really affiliated with Hamas, and does it really matter? Does it really matter that there's a situation here where, if you hadn't heard the story, two staff members of the Israeli embassy were killed in a shooting near a Jewish museum in D.C. And this is a world away war that is showing up in a terror act here in our country, a murder. From the AP, it says two staff members of the Israeli embassy in Washington were shot and killed while leaving an event at a Jewish museum. The suspect yelled, what do you think he yelled? Do you think he yelled he didn't care anything about anything else other than the tide? No, he yelled, free Palestine, free Palestine. After he was arrested, the stunning attack yesterday evening prompted Israeli missions to beef up their security and lower their flags to half staff. It came as Israel has launched another major offensive in the Gaza Strip in their war with Hamas. And I see, you know, I see some gray in what goes on there. I defended Israel's right to defend themselves. I wonder when it's going to be all over. Now Israel's saying, well, they're going to have to occupy Gaza. I'm not down with any of this stuff. Not down with the constant subjugation going forward to the Palestinian people ain't going to fix it. They're not going to go, okay, well, you're right. You know, you're right. But Israel's right to respond to the attacks, the October 7th attacks, was warranted. Now, where it ends, I probably disagree with some of y'all on that. I think it should end. But this is it manifesting itself here in the United States. Two people killed identified as Yaron Lozinski, Israeli citizen, and Sarah Milgram, American, were a young couple about to be engaged, according to Yaakov Leiter, who is the U.S. ambassador, or the Israeli ambassador to the United States. Says Lozinski's told others at the event he attended before he was killed that he was looking forward to returning to Israel to celebrate an upcoming Jewish holiday, said Ted Deutsch, chief executive of American Jewish Committee, which had put on the reception. Couple were leaving the event at the Capitol Jewish Museum when the suspect, who had been seen pacing outside the museum, approached a group of four people and opened fire. Now, the question here, too, is the gunman, we'll say his name one time, and then we'll just refer to him as Dirtbag, Elias Rodriguez, 31, of Chicago, then walked into the museum, was detained by event security, and began chanting, "Free Palestine, Free Palestine." So, terror and terrorism is used when one side doesn't have the strength of another, right? Use terrorism to even a playing field out there, to try to attack populations, to get governments to capitulate out there. Does this, has anything that has been shown, and I don't know if this guy comes at it logically, I don't know, Dirtbag's a murderer, but is there anything in this that would be thought out that you're going to kill these people that are innocent people here in the United States, one Israeli citizen, one American, and now Israel's going to go, well, you know what? You're right. We're going to stop doing this. No. And what would the what would the reaction be if there was somebody else in office? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the reaction would be if former President Biden was still in office. I don't think he would say it's a good thing. President Trump has denounced it strongly. But it's a real question here of, is this a single operator here? Is this something bigger? And do these people who would do this believe that they're going to change any kind of policy that Israel has in Gaza? I mean, like I said, I disagree with their policy going forward. I don't think occupation of Gaza is the right thing for Israel to do, but this thing is disgusting. Disgusting. All right, we'll talk about this when we return at 343-0106, 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile. Hi, y'all.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's perfect timing for my man Jeff Davis to talk about prescription drug prices, because coming up about 10, 12 minutes from right now, former Congressman Beau Brooks is going to present the flip side of that discussion, which should be interesting. All right. Grab some text from the Mallory Piping text line here. Let's, Jeff from Spanish Fort has obviously listened to the show long enough. Jeff knows exactly how to get my goat, right? And if I had a goat, I'd give it to you because they're pains. Jeff from Spanish Fort says, pack your patience. AAA says the busiest travel weekend. Those of y'all new to the show, been talking about this for decades. AAA, God bless them. Except for during COVID, every holiday it is. I'll be like, pack your patience, this, and then fill in the holiday. It's going to be the busiest travel season for Americans ever. More people are, yeah, it's this, I mean, it's like B-roll for TV. Like they'll say, you know, something about a hurricane, and they're showing you the same picture of a stop sign shaking and waves crashing a sailboat that you've been seeing forever. They just go, okay, get that image and we'll use it. AAA's all, yeah, pack your patience. It's going to be... High Plains Drifter said it's 150 million miles to Mars. The rover has been there 4 years taking pictures and drilling. The battery hasn't had to be charged. I need that battery on my boat. You and I both, I think it's solar charged. High Plains Drifter, the commentary I usually give about the Mars rover, which I think is cool stuff, and when my cell phone will drop a call from somebody, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. If I was only on Mars, I could have gotten a good signal back to you, but you know. I was driving in South Mobile County, so it couldn't work. The rover thing is cool. The Dust Devil thing, I think all that stuff's cool. Going on there on Mars. Who knows what we're going to find? CB Carl says, amen, brother. It also shouldn't be a day to get a great deal on a mattress. You are correct. Memorial Day. You know, it's just, but even, I'll say this. I agree with you, CB Carl, but somebody going to get a mattress, the ads are a lot there, but somebody going to get a mattress is not as, I think, as offensive as fireworks going off when you have people that are remembering war dead. And then, you know, Billy over there is shooting Roman candles. And once again, I'm not saying that we need an ordinance for it. I'm just saying people ought to have some taste. Pat says, I was curious about why they had fireworks out the other day. Yeah, Pat, that's what it is. They're selling to the people that are going to shoot the damn things on Memorial Day. Y'all don't be, and I love me some fireworks. Y'all don't be tacky. Okay, I mentioned flag code. My friend Supermom said, hold up, explain the flag code in regards to t-shirts. Am I not supposed to be wearing a t-shirt with any showing of the American flag? Does that include a ball cap with the American flag on it? I knew bathing suits weren't copacetic, but t-shirts too? Well, flag, so it's using, and it's something I've talked about before, like with, when we were putting together the logo for FM Talk 106.5, and I had people that were like the artists, because, I mean, I can't hardly draw a bath. You know what I'm saying? Artistry is not, with a pen or pencil, is not my thing. And people were showing me mock-ups. They're like, oh, it could look like this and look like this. It was all like using the American flag. I said, that looks cool, but I can't do that. We use the colors of the American flag. You look at our stuff, but there's not none of that there. So that's okay. And portions of the flag, Supermom, are okay. Flag code, and here's what it says online. I mean, maybe even better than I can just tell you off the top of my head. It said flag code, here it is. Now it's moving around. Did it just jump on me? All right, there it is. Flag code explicitly prohibits the use of the actual flag as wearing apparel, bedding, or drapery. This means you shouldn't wear a flag or use as a scarf, blanket, or curtain. That one's easy, right? You don't use the flag like that. Flag patches, which we all know, are allowed on uniforms of military personnel, firefighters, law enforcement officials, and members of patriotic organizations. And let me add to that, the Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts. There's also a direction of the flag that's important. But it says, general etiquette, while wearing clothing with flag-inspired designs is generally acceptable, it's important to be mindful of the flag's symbolism and avoid designs that could be seen as disrespectful. Now, the way I learned it is, a portion of the flag, you know, it can be in a clothing item, but if it shows the whole flag, in that is a violation of flag code. Once again, you can have the patches and you can have, for certain folks, but you can have the colors. And no, I do not want to put a law into effect to tell people they can't do it. This is, once again, this is where my kind of conservatism may be different than a populist angle. I don't want to pass some law to say you can't do it. I just want to remind folks of why you shouldn't. It goes, and of course, the flag code prohibits use of the flag in any way that could damage or soil it, as using it for advertising or printing on temporary items. So something, yeah, with a flag that could be thrown in the trash. It is not, like, this is old stuff. I'm a stick in the mud on this. This is not the, time's marched on probably past me, but I'm that's me. And that's why we don't have, there are probably a lot of talk radio stations that would be like us and have the flag all through it. I do it because I love the flag, not because I don't love the flag. That's why I use the colors of the flag. But I was trained up a certain way. And Matt says, please, please, please announce the Memorial Day fireworks ban with a list of banned items provided by, and then play the Joe Dirt fireworks rant. We'll play that at Independence Day. They're banned. They're all banned. No, I don't want to ban them. I don't want to put laws in. I just want to tell people, do not be shooting fireworks off on Memorial Day. It is not a fireworks holiday. Let's see. Chris in Orange Beach, I may have asked you this before. What is the one transferable badge from Weebelows to your Boy Scout uniform, and did you achieve it? I know I did, because I achieved everything. Which one was it? Oh my gosh, I'm picturing it. Is it like the Florida Lee looking one? Chris, remind me of that. Yeah. So. B-Dark said, by the way, my neighbors, two properties down, unload over 200 to 300 rounds Memorial Day, Independence Day. I'll be counting the dollars. All right, coming back, Congressman Mo Brooks joins us right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Talk 35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Good to get this guy back on the air. Been on so many times over the years with us. Congressman Mo Brooks is joining us, and a lot to talk about in the politics of our republic. But first, Congressman Brooks, let's talk some weather, because while we've been kind of sheltered from it down here in South Alabama, y'all have had some real rough weather up in North Alabama with the EF2 tornado, I think they confirmed.
Well, we had a number of EF1s and EF2s in the Tennessee Valley and to the south of us. The real remarkable thing is our warning systems are such that we had no deaths, and as far as I'm aware, no life-threatening injuries. And so that's truly a blessing. We've had a lot of trees down, a lot of power lines down. Some places still don't have electricity back. We've got a few automobiles or houses that have been crushed, but no deaths and no life-threatening injuries, at least that I've been reported and that I've seen.
That's good news. You know, people who pay attention to that kind of stuff, or just Alabamians in general, realize that area there is one of the tornado alleys. I mean, even, you know, I mean, just yearly, that area gets tornado outbreaks, even when the rest of the state doesn't. We get them elsewhere. Obviously, central Alabama gets them and all that, but that area around the Tennessee Valley gets it for sure.
We do. This was nothing like what we had in 2011, where we had many fatalities, and electricity was out in some parts of the Tennessee Valley for 6-7 days. This was relatively mild compared to that. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't mild,
right,
but it wasn't as bad as 2011.
Well, I'm glad that you know, that people were safe up there and we haven't had loss of life or injury. I do want to talk about this. I know, and I appreciate you getting off the chainsaw for a little bit to talk to us. I know you're cutting up trees and doing all that. But first of all, as somebody who sat in that chamber, a 215 to 214 vote to pass the big, beautiful bill last night in the House. Your thoughts on that, being that close, or people voting present? Any thoughts on that? Any kind of inside baseball on that?
Yeah, if it had been the exact same bill pushed by Democrats, the Republicans from the Alabama delegation would have overwhelmingly voted against it, because it spends so much money that we don't have to borrow to get, and can't afford to pay back. We just had our credit rating downgraded by Moody's. That's after Standard & Poor's downgrading. That's after Fitch's downgrading. We've got the Treasury bill 10-year rate increasing from 4.1%, give or take, to 4.6%, give or take, since April 2nd, April 4th time frame. So that's in a little less than 2 months. And a 0.5% increase in the T-bill rates may not sound like a lot, but when you got $36 trillion in debt, that's $180 billion
in
additional debt service costs that Americans have to pay. And $180 billion is a lot of money.
Got that right.
That's the equivalent of about, say, 7 or 8 NASA programs. Poof, gone. Just like that. Because the interest rates on the 10-year Treasury bill have gone. Now, it'll take a while for, you know, all the refinancing to play through, where all of our Treasury bills are subject to these higher rates. But slowly but surely, we're going bankrupt as a country. The amount that we're having to pay in debt service costs this year's pretty close to $1 trillion. About 20% of all federal tax revenue is now spent on debt service, for which American citizens get nothing in return. And then you've got this bill. These Republicans in Washington are just, well, I'm trying to think of a polite word that I can use on the radio,
okay, please,
to describe my contempt for what they're doing. But I'm proud as can be of Thomas Massie out of Kentucky and Warren Davidson out of Ohio, They saw the shiny baubles like the other Republicans did, but they looked at the meat of the matter, and the meat of the matter is we got to start doing something about this out-of-control spending. And, yeah, just because it's Republican spending, that doesn't mean that we don't have to pay it back. You know, Republican debts are just as bad as Democrat debts when you have to pay for them.
100% agree. I mean, for the audience that's been new here, they're like, Sean talks about all that stuff. Well, Congressman Brooks and I have been talking about this since we met, probably what bonded us, and it didn't matter who was in the White House. It is this republic killing debt. And you mentioned, I mean, because I talk about just the interest of serving the debt, and that goes to no American, even if you were a big spending liberal, that's not money that's going to any kind of program. That's going to service the debt. And then on top of that, you mentioned that credit rating thing. And I pointed out that here in Mobile, when our current mayor, who's not running again, but Sandy Stimson, when he came in, they tackled the debt here and changed. We got a better credit rating, better interest rate, and paid down the debt a lot more quickly. We saw the inverse happen here. Y'all know how good that was. But at the federal level, we seem not to care. You get a downgrade in credit rating, like you just pointed out, Congressman, this is real money. And it's like, and then they took that vote like that didn't just happen.
It's just mind-boggling. And I wish that our own Alabama Republicans had the kind of courage that Warren Davidson of Ohio and Thomas Massey of Kentucky displayed. And let me be real clear. You can't count on the Democrats at all. The Democrats are for spending money. They're for all this debt. And you only have a chance of being financially responsible when Republicans are in power. And we're in power. But we're just duplicating the horrific deficits of Donald Trump's first term. Except now it's Donald Trump's second term. Yeah, Biden was really bad on spending, really bad on debt. But if you go back, if I recall correctly, Donald Trump's first term was around $7 trillion in additional debt. And this term, they passed a spending bill in early January, February, and it was also a razor-thin margin, okay? And it was assuming that they'd be around $8 or $9 trillion in additional debt over the next 4 years, coupled with roughly $19 trillion in additional debt over the next decade. And we're going to go belly up. I'm very pessimistic about America's ability to avoid a national debilitating insolvency and bankruptcy. And I underscore the word debilitating. It would usher in one of the worst eras in America history, if not the worst. And if it's the worst, that means it has surpassed the Great Depression of the 1930s and it's surpassed the Civil War of the 1960s. And there's a pretty good chance that the loss of life from a national insolvency and bankruptcy, for a variety of different reasons, but the loss of life would exceed the number of men and women who were killed during the Civil War, and that numbered well into the hundreds of thousands.
You know, and I think it's that serious, too. That's why, you know, we've been talking about this for a decade plus on the show. And I would point out that Biden, Obama, and Bush Jr., I said this the other day. I said I have this unpopular opinion as well that, you know, Bush Jr. I remember him coming out and saying, well, we're going to lower taxes and we're going to spend more on all these different things. And here I was a communications major, not a business major, but I said, that doesn't make sense. I mean, what we should do, and I'm a conservative guy, but y'all are going to hear it out of my voice here. We should hold taxes where they are and not spend the damn money and try to do something about this debt. But that is like the least popular opinion out there.
Well, if we could just keep spending the same without reduction.
Or pre-COVID
levels. Over a period of time. Yeah, over a period of time, if you just kept it the same, then you slowly but surely whittle down the annual deficits. And I'll give you an example. In 2010, 2009, we had $1.4 trillion deficit was the worst under the Barack Obama first term, okay? And then we had the 2010 Republican Tea Party's election, of which I was a member. And we gritted our teeth and we said, we're not going to play politics like you normally do. And we whittled that $1.4 trillion deficit down to $439 billion over about a four-year period. This was by 2013. And so it can be done if the public elects the right people. But the public likes to hear that everything's going fine, and look at all these nice baubles that we're getting. And the politicians play to it.
They do.
And
Nothing changes.
I don't see any outcome other than a national bankruptcy at this point.
Hey, I
wish I could be more optimistic, but I'm not.
Yeah, so Doge comes in, and I've said that in conversations Cameron Smith and I have had a lot of times. I'm like, I was worried at first. I was excited about Doge, but worried because make this joke that if I like a TV series, it's going to get canceled. If I like a certain kind of tennis shoe, they're not going to keep making it. If I like something enough, it's going to go away. And so I was excited about Doge coming in, but worried. And now it looks like Doge has fizzled out as well. I mean, I had this when Doge came in. I said, mate, we're really going to do this thing. We're going to cut the cost and we're not going to spend more and we're going to address the debt. And then this bill comes out on the heels of Doge. And I'm just left with my hands there saying, what happened?
Well, it's a political gimmick to help Republicans pretend to be responsible and help Republicans get elected. That's all the Department of Government Efficiency was, okay? And how do you know that? You know that from the spending bills that project $2 trillion a year deficits. If we actually had the spending cuts that the PR machines say we're getting from the Department of Government Efficiency, then the deficit should go down. But the deficit is not going down. The debt, that's the accumulation of all these deficits, the debt continues to escalate, and that is the best evidence of whether Doge is significant. And in my judgment, from where I sit, based on the economic data I see, Doge was pretty much just a con game to pretend to be financially responsible when the actual spending bills say, ain't no way.
Yeah, it bothers me. I mean, if we're, you know, those things that were cut and those that they really didn't make a difference because we're going to spend the money over here and cut it there. I don't know. I don't know if there's any chance of Washington ever having adopting our opinions on this. I really don't. I maybe I've gotten old enough to be so cynical and my idealism is gone. I feel like there's just no chance.
Well, no, there is a chance. And matter of fact, to me, there's a certainty, but it's going to be forced on Washington, because Washington will have no choice when they can't find anyone who will loan them money. And that's what I mean by the national insolvency and bankruptcy. When you actually have to do a pay-as-you-go system based on the actual revenues that you have coming in, not this magically created debt, then you have no choice but to be financially responsible. But I'll tell you, it's going to be painful when it happens abruptly, particularly so when you've got over $1 trillion a year that you have to pay back just in debt service costs. And on top of that, you have to pay back the principal as it comes due on the $36 trillion in debt.
I'm with you.
Those two things put together, Sean, over, let's say, a 10-year period of time, that's $3.6 trillion a year in principal you have to pay back, plus over $1 trillion per year in debt service costs. That's $4.6 trillion per year, and we only bring in a little bit less than $5 trillion in tax revenue. So you're talking about a federal government that would be a hollow shell. It'd be 10 to 15, 20% of spending that it has now, which decimates Social Security, it decimates Medicare, it decimates Medicaid, it decimates our national defense. And for the life of me, for the Republicans we send to Washington, D.C., to countenance this risk, to accept this risk, which is increasingly become a certainty, that's to me just irresponsible, and we shouldn't send any of them back if that's the way they're going to conduct themselves. You know, Barrymore, I like. He's probably the best in the delegation. Gary Palmer is probably second best in the delegation out of the Jefferson County area. But the other seven, they're not, and that includes the Democrats. The other seven just aren't up to the challenge. They're failing us.
Yeah, we're just running out of time, so I got to pivot as well, because, you know, I could talk to you about this stuff for a day. But you're also, your op-ed over at AL.com, this isn't Hogwarts, Trump doesn't have a magic wand to fix drug prices. This is the power of populism, right? Because I like the idea. Believe me, I'm a regular person. I would love to have drug prices lower. I would love to be able to have, you know, more money in my pocket. So what's wrong with using an executive order to bring down those costs? Congressman, what's your thought on this?
There are a lot of problems with it. First, at best, it's temporary. Executive orders are only good for the term of a presidency, so that whatever happens is good for 44 months. Number two, you get into the legality of it. By what authority does the President of the United States have the right to dictate pricing? And if he does, Sean, can he dictate how much you get paid for the services you render?
Yep.
Is that really what we want in an executive branch, where one person can dictate the pricing for a piece of bubble gum when you buy a piece of bubble gum, or a piece of chicken when you go to the grocery store and buy a piece of chicken? If he's got the legal authority to dictate how much you have to pay for drugs, then he's got the authority to dictate how much you can earn.
Well, yeah,
and how much everything else can cost it. And he doesn't have that kind of power.
Well, and people
the
will say
the United States government does not have that kind of power, and yet he's trying to seize it in a dictatorial fashion. Now, don't get me wrong, I want lower drug prices, but the way you do it is you change the system. That's the long-term fix. You get rid of the monopolies. You get rid of the oligopolies. If you've got group price fixing, which is a problem, then you change that. If you want to decrease the cost of drugs in America, then attack some of the things that make it so expensive. We've got federal government regulation coming out the kazoo. Well, each of those things increases the cost of doing business, which increases the cost of the drugs. If you want to trade off on tort reform and lower the cost of all the litigation that these drug companies get drug into, well, then that's one way to bring down the price, as long as you understand the flip side of the coin, and that is some of these drugs hurt you. And you'd be denying the people who've been hurt by these drugs the right to compensation for the drug companies having marketed dangerous products. But the bottom line is this: you put competition into the system, you force it, you use the antitrust laws to stop the monopolies and oligopolies, you change the patent laws so that one company doesn't have exclusive right to market a particular drug for two decades, you shorten it some. And if you instill competition, then the drug companies are going to be forced to sell at the lowest price possible, because otherwise they lose the business. And if they lose the business, they go out of business. So that competition works so well with virtually every other thing we buy out there. But unfortunately, when it comes to pharmaceuticals, the drug companies have spent a lot of money buying favorable public policy that enriches their pocketbooks, and you got to change it.
You know, people are going to say, well, and this is what I want to point out, that, well, Trump's not going to, you know, go after the price of chicken or how much I can make. But the problem is, it's always folks like us that, I guess, take some arrows from populism. I'm worried about the next person that's in that office. If you set that new standard, you make that beachhead. That, I mean, remember Vice President Harris, when she was on the campaign trail, was talking about telling grocery stores what they could sell their groceries for. I mean, there's a desire to do it that one day will affect you, you know, it'll gore your sacred cow.
Well, you either want freedom and liberty or you don't. And if you want some bureaucrat in some windowless cubicle in some basement building in Washington, D.C., to dictate how much you can make with whatever talents you have and how much goods cost that you want to purchase, well, go ahead and just give up your freedom. I believe in freedom, and if you believe in free enterprise, if you believe in capitalism, if you believe in competition, that's the way to do it, where the market determines what the best equilibrium point is for pricing. But for the market to work, you have to have competition. And all too often in the pharmaceutical industry, you do not have that competition. And anyone who enjoys a monopoly for something that the public wants is in a position where they can charge more because there is no alternative product with alternative cheaper pricing. So we have to use the power of the federal government to break up the monopolies and the oligopolies. And if we do that, then everything will work out fine. But you got to do that. And so, right now, for whatever reason, Biden didn't do it. Trump hasn't been doing it this term. Trump didn't do it during his first term. Obama didn't do it before him, and we can just keep going back.
Congressman Brooks, I appreciate your time. I'll get you back on the show soon, and tell everybody up there in North Alabama, I'm glad they're safe.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Mo Brooks, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Glad to have you along. And actually, looking forward to next month. Got me thinking about this. So my buddy Clint Jameson, Adventure with Bicycles, had talked about his deals for Mother's Day. And pretty good. People came out and got mom a bike. Well, dad likes them too. I'm a dad. Like I said, I love my e-bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles, and you can get the test ride. You can get the right bike for dad as well. 75 electric bikes in stock at any time at Adventure Earth Bicycles. So if dad's going to use it in the woods, use it for hunting or whatever, there's off-road bikes for that. If they kind of want a hybrid, there's e-bikes for that. If something's just going to be on the road, they got e-bikes for that. And they got deals going on right now, sale on Fuji e-bikes. Regular $1,800, right now $1,200. The Denago Commute 2 e-bikes are on sale for $1,700. They're normally $2,100, plus a big supply just coming in of Ufree e-bikes and Big Sur e-bikes. And by the way, too, because Clint's smart, he ordered a whole bunch of bikes before the tariffs kicked in, so those prices are not tariff prices, so he still got those deals on them. That's why he was packed to the gills at the store with those e-bikes, so you can still get those great deals on it as well. Go online. You can look at the selection there before you go in person, or going in person is the most fun. Website's adventure-earth.com, adventure-earth.com, or in person at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you and dad outside. So remember, next month, Father's Day. All right, let me try to get to so many of these texts here. Come back to some of these after the news. Clint says PBMs are the reason prices are so high. Adrian said the Tea Party under Obama turned into the go-along party under Trump. What they despised under Obama, they allow under Trump. Same way with the Democratic when they don't have the numbers. Snake oil salesman. B-Dark said, what happened to U.S. economy if foreign investors pull out? Well, we're looking at it. I mean, if they pulled out, and I don't know why they would pull out. But I'm just talking about the people we owe the money to, which, by the way, I know it's interesting to say China. We owe China a ton. We actually owe Japan more than China. It was like Japan, somebody else, then China. And then the American taxpayers are owed a bunch. I know it's not fun to talk about this stuff, but I've been talking about it for a decade plus, y'all. I'm just showing my personality here, but this debt stuff, it just makes me ill. Unnamed texter said 90% of all drug prescriptions are for generics. It's not just the pharmaceutical companies that are the cause of health care. Have you ever been admitted to a hospital and doctors are making pretty good money and working less than they ever have? We'll pick these up, plus Brady Petrie from Landiap when we come back after the news.